You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
A new Mirai variant is out and about. They call it Wicked. MuKit automates coin theft. Location Smart was buggy and leaky. The U.S. Senate has confirmed Gina Haspel as Director of Central Intelligence. Relaxed tensions along the 38th parallel aside, North Korea remains active against South Korea in cyberspace. There's a lot of fraud in cryptocurrency investing, and the SEC would like to help you recognize it. Plus, my conversation with futurist and author Heather Vesant. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Friday, May 18th, 2018. Researchers at security company Fortinet have found a new variant of the Mirai Internet of Things botnet in the wild. They call it Wicked and say that it uses three modules: Scanner, Attack, and Killer. Unlike the original Mirai, which brute-forced its way into vulnerable connected devices, Wicked makes use of known exploits to establish access. It scans ports to establish a connection with its targets and uses an exploit appropriate to that connection. Wicked seems to be the work of the same coder who produced the Sora, Owari, and Omni botnets. Security firm RiskIQ has a report out on MuKit and the Russian mob behind it. MuKit is an Ethereum phishing tool that makes novel use of automation in its attacks. MuKit is interesting in the way it uses automation in the service of theft. It begins with a phishing email that's designed to induce the victims to go to a phony MyEther wallet. The landing page harvests credentials in the old familiar way. Where MuKit represents an advance comes next. It has a module that automatically uses the credentials to drain the victim's real Ether wallets into the hood's accounts. As RiskIQ explains, MuKit combines traditional phishing with an automated transfer service to take advantage of what RiskIQ calls the relatively loose security of MyEther wallet. The specific gang behind MuKit is still unknown, but the IP addresses in use and certain linguistic quirks in the scam suggest that it's a Russian group, or at least a Russian-speaking group. Krebs on Security says that LocationSmart, a U.S. company that aggregates cell phone location data, has been leaking that data through a buggy demo page on its website. The flaw granted access without requiring authentication. LocationSmart took down the relevant portions of its site yesterday afternoon upon being informed of the problem. AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon customers could have had location data exposed. Office 365 is proving increasingly popular as fish bait. The scam usually takes the form of an email purporting to be from the service, telling the recipient that their access to Office 365 will be suspended if they don't reset a password or simply click a link to verify their account. It's all bogus, of course. Microsoft no more sends out that sort of email than it has a boiler room call you at home to say they've detected malware in your Windows machine. But the emails are reassuringly boring, and they're perhaps the kind of thing the unwary and the unfamiliar might fall for. The U.S. Senate yesterday confirmed Gina Haspel as Director of Central Intelligence. She succeeds Mike Pompeo, now serving as Secretary of State. Haspel is a career CIA officer with a background in operations. Representatives Langevin and Liu, Democrats from respectively Rhode Island and California, introduced legislation in the House that would require the White House to reinstate the recently disestablished post of cybersecurity advisor. No one really expects the bill to go anywhere, but it does register discontent with the administration's move. White House cyber coordination responsibilities will devolve upon National Security Advisor Bolton. Hopes that reduced nuclear tensions on the Korean Peninsula would moderate North Korean hacking seem to be on their way to being dashed. South Korean sources say that DPRK cyber attacks have continued essentially unabated. The Straits Times reports an interview with Chow Sang-myung, director of software firm Wari Inc., and advisor to South Korea's police and national intelligence service. Choi notes that Pyongyang is interested in capacity building. He says that DPRK hackers have been sent to both China and India for advanced training. Much of their recent activity is directed toward espionage, information gathering. But we're roughly at the one-year anniversary of WannaCry, and Choi says he wouldn't rule out a repeat performance. In what amounts to a dog bites man story, the Wall Street Journal says a lot of crypto coin investment offers are scams. You think? Yeah, we thought so too. Anywho, the Journal is on the side of the angels with respect to this one. They combed their way through 1,450 coin offerings. 271 of those offerings raised clear red flags, like plagiarized investor documents, promises of guaranteed returns, always a problem, as connoisseurs of the pink sheets can tell you, and executive teams that, when they're not missing altogether, are often simply fake. The U.S. Security and Exchange Commission is trying to help educate investors to the risks the altcoin investment mania presents. They've set up a bogus coin offering site to show the public what the hokum and bunkum in the market look like. Their coin offering they call Howie Coin, a travel-focused coin, and wow, does it sound like a good deal. Here, give it a listen. Quote, Howie Coins utilize the latest crypto technology to allow travelers to purchase all segments without these limitations, allowing Howie Coin users to buy, sell, and trade in a frictionless environment, where they use Howie Coins to purchase travel or as a government-backed, freely tradable investment, or both. Well, sign me up. Where do I go to surrender? You can check it out at HowieCoins.com. That's HoweyCoins. We especially like the celebrity endorsements near the bottom of the page, so read the whole thing. And expect the SEC to come to an open mic night at the Chuckle Hut near you. Nicely done, SEC.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by David DeFore. He's the Senior Director of Engineering and Cybersecurity at Webroot. David, welcome back. We wanted to go through some of the threat trends that you all have been tracking there at Webroot. You've got some stats to share with us. What do you have?
You know, it's our annual threat report comes out this time of year, and we're always following and looking at what the trends are. Some of them are new and exciting, and some are just the old basics that, you know how we say sometimes, David, the more mundane it is, the more important it probably is to look for. It's just some fun stats. 74% of the companies that we see impersonated out there are financial institutions. So that doesn't probably surprise anyone, but if you're getting emails from your financial institution or some financial organization like the IRS or things like that, you want to be doubly sure where those emails or that communication is coming from, and just be aware, because you know that's where we see a lot of that impersonating people trying to steal information, et cetera.
Now, speaking of impersonations, it was interesting to me that you saw one name popped up particularly often when it came to impersonations.
UPS. And we saw that 52% of the time as well. I guess that has to do with trying to track packages, things like that. I can't exactly tell you why that's happening, but we do see UPS quite a bit. And probably because they're more involved with shipping and things with Amazon, you know, exploding like they are in online purchasing. UPS, people are trying to get information about being able to track packages and things of that nature. That's just a guess on my part.
And it was interesting to me also, you saw a really significantly high percentage of the malware was unique. Take us through, what are the implications of that?
Well, so that's back to, you know, our good friend polymorphism, where it's become, you know, it's almost table stakes anymore if you're writing malware to make sure that that malware is polymorphic. But polymorphic malware is where every time a file lands on a new computer, it changes itself so the signature looks different. So that older methodology of looking up signatures just doesn't work anymore. We're seeing 93 to 95% of malicious malware on one machine only because of the nature of that polymorphism. So you have to have something that does more than just check signatures. It needs to look for behaviors, and hopefully you're not letting it get on the machine in the first place.
Yeah, I saw another interesting stat you sent over was that a whole lot of the phishing attacks came from a limited number of domains.
Yes. So 62 domains in our report handled 90% of the phishing attacks that we saw in 2017. That denotes, you know, hacked domains or a lot of, you know, free or social domains that are out there where it's easy to create phishing websites that are easy to get on and drive people to. So, you know, if you're aware of these domains and you block those domains, it's a pretty good method of preventing attacks. The one thing I would say is it's the long tail that's the real threat. It's, yes, we've seen 90% of phishing attacks, you know, came from those domains, but those other 10% are coming from very small domains that we still have to be able to protect against.
So in terms of what you're seeing in terms of overall trends and how that should inform how people manage their resources, what would your advice be?
Well, you know, again, you've always got to have the basics in terms of an antivirus that does file scanning and analysis. But a lot of effort needs to be put into protecting your users when they're online, using, you know, threat intelligence to block people from going to malicious websites, using phishing tools that help identify phishing websites to prevent those types of attacks from occurring. And then one big thing we're seeing a rise in that we do encourage is getting training for your employees, and try to get that training as close to the actual event as possible so that it becomes contextual in nature rather than, you know, having training once a year on PII or PCI. Try to get that training a little, you know, delivered at the time that maybe a phishing attack happens, because then people tend to remember, oh, yeah, now I need to be paying attention.
David DeFore, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, David. It's always great.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
My guest today is author and futurist Heather Vesant. Her research on cybersecurity, cyber economics, and cryptocurrency have been featured in the New York Times, on CNN, CNBC, and Fox, and she's spoken at conferences including South by Southwest, TEDx, and The Future of Money. I kicked off our conversation by asking her to explain what exactly is a futurist.
A lot of people think the future is like the past and the present. There's one past, there's one present, so there's one future, which is one of the reasons why we love predictions, because predictions set forth one future. But the medium of the future is really different. The medium of the future is all possibilities. And so what I do as a futurist is I study the changes that are occurring in our present time. These can be trends, these can be technology trends, these can be all kinds of different, you know, what's happening in politics, cultural, social, economic stuff. So I study all the changes that are happening in our world today, and then I extrapolate them out to various timelines in the future. From that, I will create a baseline future, which is kind of like if nothing changes and we push it out, you know, however many years, 5, 15, 50 years, this is what the future could be like. But nobody has 100% control over all of the variables of the future. So there's a lot of different other futures that could occur. And so then I identify what those variables are, you know, twiddle the knobs on them, and then come up with alternate futures or other futures.
So it sounds like it's more like being a meteorologist than, say, a psychic.
Oh my God, it's so not a psychic at all. I have a master's of science in foresight. Sorry,
didn't mean to trigger you there, Heather.
Actually, lots of people will get confused about it. I am a scientist. I know. Scientist of the future? What does that mean?
Do you get a lot of eye rolls at cocktail parties when you say the word futurist?
Well,
people more polite than me, I guess.
No, actually, I get two kind of different responses. One is people are fascinated and they ask me questions, and the next thing I know, you know, we're in like a multiple hour long conversation.
Right.
Or people are just not that interested. And I think I also preemptively, like, I'm like, I'm a futurist, not a psychic.
Right.
I don't tell the future. Yeah. I don't make predictions.
What led you to your specific interest in cybersecurity?
Well, in the last couple of years, I've had three projects that have really led me into the cybersecurity space. So I co-wrote the Cyber Attack Survival Manual, and it's really a guidebook for normal people to, you know, be safe and secure online. At the same time, I was doing a project for the U.S. Army. I was looking at the future of military learning. The point of that project was to look at new technology like AR, VR, distributed learning, tablets, that kind of stuff could be used to do military training. And this is kind of like the training that everyone would get when they enlist in the military, when they're learning military leadership skills, as well as the core competencies that they need to do their job. Cyber war is the newest domain for the military. And so the whole scenario I put together to show the future of military learning was training for a cybersecurity war game, which then led me to wanting to kick off some research on the future of security. And I ended up being invited to write this paper that I just finished for the New Security Paradigms Workshop. And I co-wrote the paper with Bob Blakely, who does security at Citibank. And the title's of the paper is Shifting Paradigms, Using Strategic Foresight to Plan for Security Evolution. He brought his security background. I brought my foresight futurist background, kind of like mashed it up to really look at what are some real legit scenarios of the future. And I was blown away by what we found out. As a futurist, I have lots of different methods available to me. And for this particular research, I decided to utilize what I call as a foresight interview protocol. And so there's a way that I like to interview people that focuses on current trends and then where it could go in the future. I also like to use a method called appreciative inquiry, and that focuses on what's positive and already working in the industry to see where things might grow versus focusing on the problems that we have. I also used a method, it's one of the best methods and newest methods in foresight studies, called causal layer analysis, or CLA. I use a light version of it. It helps you dig into kind of some of the underlying themes and cultural aspects in an industry that you might not otherwise find. And so I used these methods in conjunction with one-on-one interviews and a standard survey. And one of the things that was the most interesting to me that came up from the research was this idea that the reason we have so many black hat hackers these days is because we don't have full employment for everyone who has these skills. It arises in countries that have really good education, but poor economic markets or work markets. For example, in the former Eastern Bloc or Brazil, you have very smart people that have very good education, but they're not able to get jobs. And so instead, what they're doing is they're using their skills for evil because they're trying to make a living. And so one of the new paradigms that I discovered was this idea that we have like attackers and defenders, adversarial experience. And so when I wanted to flip that paradigm and think, well, what if there was no more adversaries? Like, how could we have no more black hat hackers? And I thought, well, what if everyone who has the skills is fully employed? Then they don't need to go out and find a way to monetize their skills. They don't have so much time and no money, and so thus the motivation to be able to like break these things. That changes the world dramatically. And then we kicked that up even more and thought, well, then who would be hiring like the actual hackers to hack into things? Well, then maybe it's only going to be nation states that are going to be hiring these super high skilled people to do, cyber warfare at the hacker level. And we really kind of came up with this whole idea of a Cold War 2.0. So, you know, that's just kind of an example of one of the more kind of far out there things we came to.
And I suppose it's challenging for some people to imagine what the possibilities might be, either good or bad.
Absolutely. As a futurist, it's a lot easier for people to think about the negative consequences of technology, but that actually doesn't ever really happen, because if it did, we'd stop building technology. Technology and all of the new things that we come up with inevitably make our lives better and more interesting, and they also give us a whole new set of problems to solve. We're going to solve our old problems, and we're going to create new problems, and that's just kind of what we do as humans.
That's author and futurist Heather Vesant. You can learn more about her work on her website, heathervesant.com. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.